Gentas presents The Expansionists by Vivian Stewart, performed by Simon Slater. Chapter 1. When sudden storms bring torrential rains to a desert area, such as the Gibson in Western Australia, the water pools atop the powder dry soil. It is an odd phenomenon with which every gardener is familiar. The drier the soil, the greater the runoff of water. The arid dust forms a barrier to the penetration of moisture, so that the rains form muddy rivulets that pour into the erosion gullies and finally into ancient dry stream beds, like the wash beside which Tolo Mason had set up camp on the evening that brought the animosity between him and Terry Forrest to a head. Desert rain is an example of too much of a good thing too quickly. The bloated clouds burst with spectacular displays of lightning, with cannonades of thunder, and the dry desert gasps with thirst. But at first the ground perversely rejects the gift of water. Thousands of rivulets drain into the wash, and a flash flood is the result. Countless tons of water fill the wash from bank to bank and rush toward the sea. The leading edge of the head rise is a shallow, roiling extension of the thundering wave, like a cow catcher on a locomotive. Quickly behind the advance ripple comes the vertical wall of water, cresting at the top, carrying driftwood, uprooted brush and grass, even the dead bodies of unwary desert animals. The advancing flood, bearing everything in its path, moves faster than a man can run. Terry Forrest had seen flash floods, but never from directly in front of the advancing wall of debris-filled water. He was exhausted from his long, battering fight with Tolo Mason, and his brain was numbed. When he first saw the wave, it took precious seconds for him to realize what was happening. He tried to stand, but his legs collapsed under him. Tolo, too, had seen the onrushing water. He took a few steps toward the bank. He had just enough time to make it. "Help me, mate," Terry Forrest called out. Tolo hesitated but a moment, then ran back, lifted Forrest with his hands under his arms, and started dragging him toward the bank, which seemed now to be miles away. Tolo, too, drained by the bruising fight with Forrest, was not at his best, and his arms ached with the weight of the man. His lungs burned with his efforts, and the thundering water came closer, closer. When the first ripples lapped at his boots, he knew that they were not going to reach the bank. The cresting front of the flood was only feet away. He threw himself down, thinking that their best chance of survival was to let the crest of the wave fall over them and pass them by. In those few seconds he knew that if they were to be caught up in the debris that churned on the brunt of the wave, they would be ground up and broken, tossed and twisted, appearing and disappearing on the waters like the carcass of the dead kangaroo that seemed to launch itself directly at him. The water crashed into them. Tolo had taken a deep, deep breath. He tried to cling to the bed of the wash, but the force was too great. Tumbled over, he felt the dull blows of collision with things. Terry Forrest was holding on to him with the force of sheer panic, and at first that helped, for their combined weight acted as a drag, allowing the deadly crest to pass them. But then Forrest became a dangerous burden. Tolo reached down, put his hand in the man's hair, and pulled hard, slapping at Forrest's hands, which clutched him around the waist. He loosened Forrest's grip, then kicked upwards, pulling Forrest with him. They were being swirled downstream, carried by the force of the flood. When Tolo's lungs began to burn, he feared that they were not going to survive. He was kicking powerfully, dragging Forrest. And then his head broke the surface, and he took a gasping breath that was partially spray. He coughed it out and dragged a rasping lungful of air through the pain of water in his lungs. Beside him, Forrest was floundering, and Tolo almost lost his grip on the man's hair. Unable to speak because of the inhaled water, Tolo gasped and coughed again, his inhalations nothing but painful choking spasms. And then at last he spat out water and could breathe freely. Forrest was making odd sounds and rolling over and over, trying to get his hands on Tolo. As the current rushed them farther downstream, floating brush and drift smacked against them, sometimes sticking painful spines into their flesh. Forrest managed to turn and with one arm clasped.